Mr. Groove, watching the back house. Don't you come back. Please don't you come back. Don't you come back. Please don't you come back. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Lem. I'm your host, Angel Lem. Today I'm sitting with Pedro Garcia. He's a local artist from the city of Wilmington. He does a lot of things in the city. He restores murals. He's involved in his college, but most of all, he is trying to bring back something that he feels is not art, I guess, or a type of art that's not really being featured anymore. He does a lot of work with paint, with pens. He's trying to bring that movement back, you know. He tells a little story on the episode where, you know, he kind of explains why he feels it needs to come back. So I'm not gonna go into it. I know I usually say I'm not gonna get into it. I go right into it, but I'm not. I'm trying to stop doing that. All right. So I met him in Synchronicity. We had a conversation. I couldn't really hear him because of the music that's playing in the background. So I asked him to come on. And it happened. Here I have the episode. Hopefully you guys enjoy it. I had a blast talking to him and learning from him. You know, he's a great guy and I hope he does big things. You know, I'm sure he's going to do great and big things. And I'm happy that I was able to have him right at that point where he's about to blow up, because, you know, he's blowing up, he's featuring magazines, like I said, he's involved in his college, so I'm sure he's going to do great things. Hopefully I have him on later on when he gets, when he figures out what he wants to do and how he's going to do it. This week's episode is brought to you by Lucky Lady Multimedia Productions. Lucky Lady Multimedia Production presents Unity, a night of poetry, comedy, and music. Featuring Kevin Gardea, Carolina Felix, Lola La Poeta, and myself. They're throwing a show to benefit the immigrant rights. It's going to be at Harvard Yard in the city of LA on December 23rd at 7 p.m. They're taking a $5 donation at the door. All proceeds will go to Charla, a coalition for humane immigrant rights of Los Angeles. So make sure you attend that show. I'll be there telling some jokes. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I'm pretty nervous. I don't know what jokes I'm going to be telling. Trying to get away from all those immature stuff. But I'm not going to lie to you. I came up with a brand new immature one. And I think I'm going to stick to it, right? If it works, do it, right? I don't know. So I'm nervous. But I'm happy to have another opportunity where I could do the one thing that something that I love, you know. I haven't performed. I've had writer's block for a while, and you know, this is kind of helping me. I guess the pressure is kind of helping me to, like, you know, like, shake it off, I guess, because I've written two jokes. I don't know how good they are. I'm planning to perform. I'm doing open mic pretty soon, and I'm gonna see how it works. That's how I'm gonna determine whether I'm gonna keep them or, you know, or leave them. So I'm excited. Hopefully I see you guys there. I'll be taking stickers, and I might have to leave a little early, but I'll be waiting to, you know, stick around and talk to you guys if you guys are able to attend. If you guys want a sticker, all you have to do is send me a message to my Instagram, my Facebook, or just send me an email to letmeknowpod@gmail.com. I also have some stickers at Synesthesia Boutique and at Jessica's Fitness Center. Just stop by. If you go to Synesthesia Boutique, she has... You could get some last minute shopping done. You know, everything's under $30. She has clothing for women and men. She also features some of my past guest work, like Los Albas. She has a lot. She has her vase. She has some La Loteria, little match boxes. And she has a lot of great clothing. So make sure you stop by and pick up a sticker. And while you're there, make sure you check the shop. And, you know, get some shopping done. All right. Also, guys, make sure to leave a review on iTunes. And 5 stars, leave a review. Subscribe. Make sure you're telling the world about the podcast, guys. The only way that the podcast is going to grow is if you guys help me, all right? And that's why it's so important for you guys to leave a review. I need you guys to say something nice or whatever you guys want. The more reviews I get, the more subscriptions I get, the more exposure I'll be able to receive, and the more exposure that my guests are able to receive. So don't do it for me, do it for my guests, because that's the only way that they're going to be able to get heard. And, you know, and I don't want them to feel that's a waste of time, them coming on, because I have a great time doing it, and I want them to come back. And the only way that's going to work is if they see that coming on the episode, on the podcast is worth something, right? So that little incentive for every review you guys leave me on iTunes, I'll donate $5 to either St. Jude's, the Make-A-Wish Foundation, or I'll give you guys the option to where I'll donate them to. All right. So far, I have 3 reviews. So far, it's $15 that I'm gonna donate. You know, I'm gonna leave it up to you guys. If you guys want to help, just leave a review, 5 stars. At the end of the year, I'm gonna tell you guys who I'm gonna donate to and how much I was able to donate to. All right, so far it's 15. I'm gonna donate up to $200, because like I mentioned a couple episodes, I keep mentioning all the funds for the podcast come out of my pocket. I have no real legitimate sponsors. If you want to sponsor the show, send me an email to letmeknowpod@gmail.com. If you know anybody that be cool that would benefit from being having a little spot on the episode where I get to talk about their products or their business, make sure you leave me a message or send me a message to letmeknowpod@gmail.com, or just direct message me on Instagram. I'm very quick. I'll respond fairly fast depending what I'm doing, you know. So yeah. So don't forget, leave a review, subscribe, iTunes, subscribe, Google Play, subscribe on SoundCloud. So yeah, so you know, I am looking for sponsors. So please, like I said, send me a message. You know, I'm trying to make some money, not for me, but I do want to make products. I want to make hats and shirts like that. And you know, I could only afford so much things. I do have my 9-to-5, and a lot of money that goes into this podcast comes from there. So I need you guys to support and help me over here a little bit. You know, I love doing this, but you know, I want to make merch. And if I don't see that anybody's listening, then you know, why am I gonna invest? Like my stickers. That's why it's so important for you guys to send me a picture of the stickers, so I could see if my stickers are like on rotation and they're being spread out and where they're at. Because honestly, I leave them with people and I don't know who has them, you know. Like I know how many I made, I know how much I have now, but I don't know where those stickers are. So send me a picture to my Instagram or send me a picture to my email at letmeknowpod@gmail.com. So yeah, you can find me at Instagram and Facebook. Like I said, tell your friends. Please tell your friends. You know, I wanna grow. I wanna be bigger and do much better things. But the only way that's gonna happen is if you guys help me. So hopefully you guys like this podcast. That's why you guys are giving me a chance. Hopefully I meet your expectations. But if I don't, I want you to send me a message telling me how I could improve the episodes. All right. Right now, I wanna add a segment where you guys send me questions and I'll answer them. You know, it could be about me, it could be about life, it could be about what's going on in the news. Maybe you need advice, like maybe you need directions. Maybe you're looking for a place to eat at, and you think I'll be able to help you guys there. send me a message to my Instagram, send me an email, and I'll make sure I'll read it on our podcast. If you want to be private, you know, maybe you want to tell me a story and you need some advice, I'll do it. Just make sure you tell me that you want to remain private. All right, guys. Well, you know, I'm pretty much out of breath now. And I think I spoke a lot. Hopefully you guys are able to leave me a review and send me those messages. All right, guys. All right. Well, I hope you enjoy this episode. I had a lot of fun doing it. And stick to the end, guys. Please stick all the way to the end. All right, guys. Enjoy. Welcome back, guys. I'm sitting here with Pedro Garcia, also known as Risper. But you know, before I even start, let me ask you about the name. Like, why Risper? Like, what's that about?
I got the name given to me when I was a new kid in Wilmington Middle School. And I met this guy, Louis. And then as the moment came by, he kept noticing, because every time I talk like very like softly. And sometimes you can barely hear me. And then he got the name of just calling me Whisper, because the way I talk is Whisper. But then I kept the name. Like, he called me Whisper and I kept the name. And then I also did graffiti. Uh-huh. And every time when we get assignments and classwork and during class, I will always practice my lettering. And I would spell out Whisper or Rex or anything, like, and then, you know, it came to my like, and I also have that certain disability sometimes when I have trouble spelling. I had a huge, like, problem with English, because sometimes I'll have trouble writing. It was just writing. The way I speak was okay, and luckily, and then, but every time I would write, I would misspell some stuff, and then as I was writing Whisper, it's, usually, originally, it was supposed to be W-H, I-S-P-E-R, but after a while, as I wrote it, I started noticing, like, I misspelled Whisper with a W-R because of my graffiti name Rex with the R-E-X, and then, you know, and then I kind of dig it. Like, after a while, I'm just, like, representing that W-R, not the W, because people will always assume, like, why the W? Is it because of your hometown, Wilmington? No, it's not because of that. I'm just embracing the fact that you know, it's just like Whisper, like as a wrist, and you know, I just stuck by it. Like, I just enjoyed how it looked and it felt right. It just showed who you are, and it's something different. It's originally, and has a story to it. It's, you know, it involves where I came from as well. So yeah, that's why I got the name.
Yeah, but man, like, fuck, I already fucked up. Like, I didn't even introduce what you do, or like, I didn't, like, usually, like, I do that. So, I don't know, man. My bad.
It's
so,
all good.
Yeah, but, I mean, you can kind of tell what he was talking about. He's an artist. He, I met him as, He draws. He actually does a lot of things with art, like with pen, and he also does clay work. And, you know, apparently he does graffiti. I didn't even know that. You know, he also writes. But, yeah, so he's from the city of Wilmington. Actually, I met him at Synchronicity. Thank you for everybody that attended that event. You know, I really appreciate it. You might have seen me there, and you might have seen me talking to him for a good, like, 30 minutes. I found him very interesting, but I honestly couldn't really hear him because of the music. It was so fucking loud that I needed to have him on because I didn't give him a proper interview. And I felt, you know what, like, he's an interesting guy. And from what I like, from what he was telling me, like he's solidifying himself in Wilmington and in Harvard College, and I was like, you know what, man, like he deserves a little shine, you know, a spotlight, you know, what's it called, a shot on the spotlight, I guess, you know, because I mean he's doing good work, and a lot, like every time I see him, I tell him like his fucking like his drawing, like his drawing style is, it reminds me of like prison tattooing art for some reason, but you know I like it. I wouldn't get it tattooed on me because I don't like tattoos, but I see it. I would see it on somebody else, you know? So, yeah, man, sorry for giving a shitty ass fucking introduction. So, you know, like, hey, fuck it. Let's get to know him a little better, right? So, man, like, how long have you been drawing? Like, how long have you been drawing? First question.
I've been drawing my whole life. I know for sure I've been drawing seriously since, like, first grade. Before, like, preschool and kindergarten, I was placed in a deaf program. That was why I went to Gardena. I always lived in Wilmington my whole life. But because they had a special program for deaf or hard hearing students, and I found out I was deaf or hard hearing in the age of 3. Maybe I was born deaf and everything, but they found out I was born, like, deaf, so I needed hearing aids, so they sent me to all the way to Gardena. So I would take school buses over there, and the reason for it, and later on, like that little dark program, there was like around the minimum 5 kids, including me. And later on, when I got to first grade, they decided for me to go to another class, which was basically, I was labeled in the deaf program as a mainstream, which means I'm kind of like a high level in it, I guess, in a certain way, with how like my IQ or something. So they highly suggest me to go to a normal class, and I was the only one. So I felt like an outcast because I didn't know any of these students. I felt different, and all they saw was like this kid had a hearing aid. It was very noticeable back then because you would have this little like mic in front of your chest, and it's noticeable. And then
damn.
I will like, yeah. So eventually, like, as I start, like, I'm that quiet kid where it's just I kept everything myself, and later on I just started drawing, and then, I don't know, for some reason it just kicked off, and I started getting noticed as me drawing a lot with these kids. So they didn't, in a way, art helped me connect with people, and in a way that I started noticing that, and it kind of speaks for me. And then eventually, like, as these kids started to know me as that artist, it kind of dragged out their attention that I was deaf, so they kind of accept me for who they were, like, as their friend. So that's why I started doing it. I did like an animation cartoon, for sure, like Dragon Ball Z or Marvel characters, comics, action stuff, and I started doing that. And then I started doing the style right now. I want to say like middle school, yeah, middle school in the sixth grade. My cousin Jose Cisneros, he introduced me to some of the stuff, like, such as like the people from High Power. I guess the one I could remember was Lil Tweety, and he introduced me to Eminem, and then he introduced me some oldies. And but yeah, I think the one that caught my attention was the Chicano oldies. And they will always have these prison art to it, and I will always love those covers, and I will always put them on like my PSP and everything, that cover and everything. And also I will listen to Kid Frost. I think my cousin introduced me to that. And then the one thing that he introduced me to, like the Joker brand, and then it connected with the first album, I believe it was Mr. Cartoon and artwork, and he became my role model ever since. Like, I want to do that. Like, I started seeing all these clowns that he's done, and then, I don't know, it kicked off from there. And it's pretty awesome, because I would, that The thing when I just started doing clowns, I don't copy, such as like, oh, I'm gonna do the same thing. Honestly, I do clowns and I started basing on that, and I started doing my own clowns, and I just kept going and kept going, and kids would notice, and then they want one, and then they would ask for free stuff. But yeah, I would do it, and then it was all practice, and like, so.
So like, what would be the difference between the clowns you would see or like the clowns you would do?
The clowns, yeah. The clowns is
like,
just
how
like,
would you mix it up? Like, what would you change or what?
I would like, it's just simply like, you know, like all the clowns, like such as like, I would call them like bone clowns, or because of Bone Thug Harmony, and like King Clown, because I don't know, like I think the homies on based on that. So I was just like, it was just like simple stuff that I could come up with at that time, and I just make like, there will be clowns, and there'll also be like those masks from like the Smile Now Cry Later type of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I kept at it, and you know, eventually, like when I got to high school, I started doing a lot of stuff like for Wilmington, a lot of them. I have a composition book, and what I do is I will always draw on them. Like, I think I got an extra one for free, and I was just like, fuck, like, I guess, and like, that was my black book. I didn't know where all these graffiti artists got their black book back then, so that was my black book, so all I started doing my own.
So, like, those composition books, like, are those agendas that they would give you, or what?
No, it's actually, like, it was all blank, like, it was a blank composition book, and I just took advantage of just having to make that into a, like, that was my sketchbook, that was my black book. I didn't know what to get, like, at that time, I didn't, like, know
what a black book was,
what a black book was, or a sketchbook, even, like, I don't even know where to get those type of stuff.
Did you take art in high school?
I did take art. I took art in, 10th grade, and I took painting, like, but it was only, like, one semester or so. And then I took AP art with Mr. Vargas and senior year. And it was cool. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So that was actually the first art teacher that actually taught me something based on art. All the other teachers, they just let you, you know, like let you just
around,
yeah, just basically walk around. You know, it's cool and all. Like you get to do your thing, but at the same time, he actually, like my teacher, Mr. Vargas, he actually gave you criticism, but in a certain way, you gotta take it and take. He actually wants you to learn, you know, actually improve. And I think the one thing I did was my portrait back then that I would always have trouble with is the portraits of those faces. And what I did, I will attend to after school programs, because in high school, like in 10th grade, I started having trouble with school. So what I did, I went to Wilmington Boys and Girls Club, and they will have. At the first thing why I go is because of recording arts, but
and what's that? Recording arts?
Yeah, Manifest Studio is recording arts. I used to like.
I don't know what that is.
Recording arts.
Yeah,
it's like studio people where they do like vocal artists, like rappers.
Oh, you also rap?
Used to, but it was fun. It was all like, you know, but honestly, because I took advantage of me taking that. I wanted to do something new, and I took advantage of that, and honestly, that helped me speak better. Because if it wasn't for recording arts or the Manifest Studio, and then the producer right there, the first one, Definite, he told me, I think it was this one moment that I will remember is that he pointed out that the way I was speaking, I will have trouble speaking.
Yeah.
So I started working on that, and because of that, I started working more to support my poems and my the way I speak, and I started progressing the way I speak, and I wouldn't be speaking now if it wasn't for him.
So are you like, let me go back a little bit to what you were talking about. Like, are you still deaf? Like, you
can hear better? I'm partially deaf. Like, now it's like not fully deaf. Like,
but because I don't see like a hearing aid on you. Oh, you have it on?
Yeah, I have it on.
Oh,
hearing. Yeah. It's like, if right now, like back then, it was very noticeable, but right now, it's, you know, the future. So it's like,
yeah, because I didn't even know. Is that why you don't have the second one on?
Yeah, that's why I don't have the second one on. Only because, you know, like, I don't want this one, like, because once I put this on, it's gonna, you know, be, it's gonna be like making noise.
Yeah,
making noise. So
you have two on?
I have the other one. But, you know, I have to go to work because I have to have the walkie on.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, that one's actually sensitive. So, Oh. Send us up. But, yeah, that's another story. But,
yeah. No, you're a great example for people like that. They might have a disability like yours, and then they might be feeling sorry for themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, you're young, like you were, like,
yeah, 19. Yeah, embrace it. I'm proud to be that because the way how I was surrounded, and I still hang out with some of my childhood friends from, I still hang out with my deaf friends to this day. I think we went to visit, like a couple of years ago, me and my deaf friends, we got to go over there. We had a certain reunion. We went over there, meet our old teacher.
All right. Your old school?
Yeah, and the current students right there. It was cool. It was amazing. Yeah. And, you know, it was starting, like, there was this little kid. He reminded me of me. I used to sing, like, Bad Boy from, like, The World's Men of Mark. I don't know, the Bad Boy song from The Cops or something. he started singing. And I was like, damn, it's like we've seen a reflection of me. So it was cool. Like, you know, it brought me back. And everything was all the same. I saw a couple of my old teachers and, you know, bring back, and you start realizing where you are now and what you've gone through, because what I gone through, it wasn't like it was always choosing like side. My deaf friends will always be against my normal friends, and I will always be in the middle. So I felt like not left out, but I felt like on my own and alone, because I was like on the middle. I didn't know what to choose, so I just went off my own.
Yeah, I mean, that's good.
Yeah, so that's when art started coming through, and I kind of draw in a way to escape that, to realizing, and, you know, that was, yeah, so.
So, like, do you learn how to sign and all that?
I learned how to sign in middle school because I transferred to 8th grade. I transferred to Wilmington Middle School. The 6th and 7th grade, I went to Carnegie Middle School. And I was hanging out with my deaf friend, but then things were getting worse between my deaf friends and my normal friend, and the way how I was treated by some of the adults right there. They would give me this special treatment because I'm like partially deaf.
Yeah.
But I'm not like, you know, like, and then it started getting annoying me. I was filled with anger and confusion. I didn't know what to do. And then I met with this one teacher, and I had permission with my homeroom teacher to hang out with him for the whole rest of the end of the day. And then it came to mind to actually, because of that, I had the mind of me having to transfer to my own hometown school, because it came to the point where I was just like, I don't know anything about my hometown. Every time I go, I just stay at home.
Yeah.
So I want to know about my hometown. And so yeah, it came true. That's why I did a lot of drawings of Wilmington. Stuff I learned from some of my friends, even though it was a bad crowd, or even though like that's when I was introduced to like smoking marijuana, and then started drinking.
At middle school?
Yeah, in a certain way, yeah.
Oh,
yeah. So that actually, some of my new friends from eighth grade or Wilmington Middle School, they actually introduced me to this. So I was like, oh shit, like, you get mixed up with the crowd, but you want to blend in.
Yeah.
Because you don't even, as for me, like, I don't even know what, like, I was a follower, you know, like, I didn't even know I didn't know what's best for me. I just knew, as long as I'm drawing, I'm fine, whatever. But, you know, but I never appreciated anything, and you know. So, you know, it's just a hard-headed, like, I learned stuff the hard way to understand.
I mean, that's everybody, man. It's not just you. Like, a good example, you've met Mario Ibarra? You met him?
Yeah.
So, they're like, I give him an example. It's like when your parents tell you, oh, don't get that girl pregnant, but you still have sex with that girl and you get her pregnant. Like, you don't know what you get yourself into until you do it yourself. Like, everybody could tell you, like, use protection, or don't do this, do that. But, I mean, not until you learn for yourself.
Yeah.
Like, oh, man, okay, that's why people weren't, like, telling me, like, not to do this, you know? I think that's everybody. It's not just you.
So, I started realizing that. That was actually, like, that came to my mind. It's actually great. So, like, everyone has their own decision, their own path, what they take. It's their decision and their option of whether they can listen or not listen.
Yeah.
It's their environment, they grew. Like,
yeah.
So, have nothing to say or to say for anybody's life, or can't control them, you know, what they're going through, whether you understand them or not. You do your best to be in their lives, and it's up to them. Like, they're fighting their own battles.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, as It takes them a while. For you, it takes a while. It's all patience. And, yeah.
Okay, well, let's go a little bit back into the drawing, all right?
Yeah.
Why did you get started doing, like, because most, like I mentioned earlier before, a lot of your stuff is with the pen. Like, why did you start doing pen, like, strictly pen? Because it's super hard to work with pen.
Well, first, when I started doing it, when I was just looking at my old, like, quotation mark black book, which is my composition book, I started realizing I had a different style of just like I will press the pen work very hard, and it's a bit comparing right now. The reason why I do pen and the reason why I still stick by it is because I just love and sometimes hearing it is sad, but when I hear from the older folks too, that they don't see that from the these days or anything
like youngsters, you can say youngsters.
So I was like, the youngsters, and I think one of the thing that, you know, like that I can remember, like, to give an example, I was like in the Blue Line train and I was heading home, and this one, I had my pen work that I picked up on Highland Park for Original Magazine, and I was going home, and this guy, and he's a dad of a father of four or five kids, and he said he had a son that's around my age, and then he was telling me he got a little peek of my artwork of that frame when I was carrying. I didn't even show the whole thing, and he right away just like, "You do art?" Like, and I said, yeah, I do art, and then he was like, "You did that all blue, man?" And it's just like, yeah, and then, "Can I see the whole thing?" And he saw the whole thing, and it kind of like, it kind of warmed his heart, because it was sad for him, because when he was young, he would be surrounded by so many of his homies be doing pen, and coming from his words, like, he doesn't, having to hear, like, he doesn't see that anymore these days, like, right now, from all the youngsters in him, it's around my age, or anyone younger, and it's sad, you know, because it's true, you don't see that in anybody doing that, and I put it upon myself to actually keep that going, keep that culture going, keep that pen work going, for not just for me, but for the others. I always tell everyone that I'm not, because I already done art my whole life for me and got my salvation, so it was my time enough for after that salvation. It was no long, like, art is still a part of me. I do it for me, but also the most big part is to do it for others. And that was that big moment why I do it. Having to see, like, you know, could I respect my peers, and I want to keep the culture going and make history, be that new generation of just keeping that culture going for these historical people or what they done, to not let it be like vanished. I don't want the pen work to be gone, like, where I don't want to see just technology in the future where they just does stick on art. I want the old school of what it's still known for to be what it is. And I didn't have to go to prison, you know. I just love and respect the prison artwork, but I did it my own way. It's more my style, just the culture of surrealism. Whenever I do pen work, I always take my time. I want to embrace it, and when I do embrace it, it's my heart. So, and it's tough sometimes, because you gotta watch out some of the symbols, because it might be like mixed with like gangs or something. So I watch out with that. So I give it a little somewhere in my twist to make it turn like a positive turn away, or my own way. So that's what I mean, like dreamlike reality. You gotta don't mix them up, because you gotta watch out with the reality, which is like the whole violence and everything. So I kind of just mix everything for what I see, for others to see. And I just have, I, as a kid, I'm always imagination. So that's why I do all these new stuff that no one's seen before. I want to keep it original. I want to keep it something new. I don't want like the same smile now, cry later, over repeatedly. It's not, I don't want none of that. Like,
yeah,
let's, it's, because that shows me, if people, like, I see any, like, words to the youngsters, like, do, be free to do, express yourself, because you don't know what you're gonna create. Just believe in yourself, have faith in yourself, just go at it and express, where you don't know what to come up with, because you just keep it like on your comfort zone. Yeah, just keep practicing and practicing, but at the same time, express and do something different at a time. And you know, and you see something new. It's all risk taking. That's all I can say.
So, like, do you ever teach anybody else? Like, do you? I know you're involved at Harvard College on that club, but do you teach on the side? Like, do you ever go to the Boys and Girls Club and offer like little classes or courses?
Yeah, I actually, in the age of 19, before I had the job right now, my first job was I was an art staff for summer.
Okay.
And I teach some kids art.
But you taught them penmanship?
Some I taught pen. It was this one kid that, you know, I think he had his brother was he was in prison and he was telling me this, and then you know like and then as he was telling me this, I was teaching him how to do the pen work I was doing because he loved it, and you know it's worth teaching for, and it was new to me because I didn't know how to teach. And honestly, when I worked as an art staff, it was out of my element, but at the same time, I give mad respect to our teachers that after they let me go because it was seasonal.
Okay.
So, I learned a lot. So, it takes time. You gotta be patient with when you teach someone. And it's very hard. It's very hard, but it's worth the wait. So, it's up to the kid or anybody that whoever you teach, whoever, and you know, do the best you can.
Yeah, and then let's go back to like your penmanship, and you're saying that you like to mix it up. Like, do you ever put some anime twist into like that Chicano? Like, first of all, like why that type of art? Like, why are you sticking to that art?
I stick by it because I know because many times I will hear like it's the same style, but at the same time, it's not all the same. Like, if you see all my artwork, they're all like a slight different. I always do something different. Like, when having to do like a thing, for example, like because I take chances. Like, I study all these, and the reason why I stick by it is because I know I can learn more to that, and there's more to it, and I want to keep it me as it is, like, because I don't want to lose, like, a certain way to just keep that it is, and keep the flow going, and just share it with everyone as I can. I always do my best that I can, and I share it, and I always give that little twist. Sometimes I put that animated stuff, like, recently right now, I've been doing this little twist of everything, and give it like, but I want the reason why I do that is because I'm trying to, whatever I create for my mind, I know it's gonna lead me to somewhere. That's why I still do that, my style right now, like that I still do that cultural surrealism, because I learned for the cultural, I learned to my history, like all my, where my ancestry comes from and where I'm from and what the history, what's going on today, who fought for this, and I respect that. And then as for surrealism, it's just the whole thing, like, it's just entrusting yourself, because you know, because whenever I draw, I put my heart and soul to it, every bit, no matter what, whether it's small or little, like, I just do it. And I know for a fact, when I keep doing it, it's gonna lead me to something very, very, like, unique and originally, like, no one done before, and I'm reaching for that. That's what I'm reaching for, like, no one, something that I always tell myself, I'm gonna do something that no one has done before. But when I do the same, like, something that people already done before, I do that to see where can I take in this level of understanding, you know, in a certain way, keep it that same pace. So
like, do you ever collaborate with anybody?
Yeah, I've collaborated with Pascal from she's from Crenshaw, and that was it was called The Influence, and then that was everyone loved that one because it was, she did her painting of a portrait of herself, and I incorporate all my pen work, and you know, it's pretty cool, like. And I started after a while, right now I'm actually collaborating with Natis from Wilmington, from Dove City Tribe. We're doing this, and we're still probably almost, we're almost there. We're 50% done. It's just the time because he's busy and I'm busy. And then by now I'm focusing on the artwork that I'm doing. And I'm also doing a collaboration with one of my buddies, Julian, that's also in the Metsa Club. So yeah, so collaboration is actually fun. It's just like the time and effort that you can put into it to make it happen. And my idea when it comes to the collaboration, it shouldn't be like two artists that doing their own thing on their own. You gotta communicate. You gotta communicate and just see what you can create and see what you can come across and make it that one, like two piece into one. That's the whole idea, and that's how it should be. Because I see some of the collaboration, there's like two artists that do a collaboration, and it's just
they don't mix, they don't fucking like merge together, right?
Yeah,
it looks like two separate things. They don't really like,
yeah,
they don't seem cohesive, I guess.
Yeah, it's not one. Like if it's just making it seem like it's forced, but it's actually like your world, and it's just like, I don't know, it's just nothing happened basically.
So like, what are you collaborating on? Like, on paper, like on like a wall, like what are you guys working on? Or are you even allowed to say?
I think one of my friends, he's doing pencil and I'm doing pen, but I'm also doing a little bit of pencil to it, so that way it'll blend with his work. And then for the one of the collaboration, it's gonna be on, like, it was done on canvas, the one, okay, the painting, so it was done on canvas. And then with the one in Natus, it's just a bigger paper. Probably the next collaboration, if we do come across to a next collaboration, huh, we'll probably do a painting because that's more of a his element.
Yeah, okay.
So, you know.
So how does that work, though? Like, do you guys have, so does he do his piece and then he gives you the paper? Or are you guys doing it at the same time?
It's a little bit of both.
Okay.
In a certain way. But mostly just like, it's just like a fair sharing. So it's just sometimes I get a bit of what I'm drawing and he's doing a little bit of work, so it's coming across. So it's just a process, you know, like I'm starting to learn how to do this collaboration and see how I can work with the flow. It's all just determination. So it's just like making it happen. And you know, it's like I said, everyone's busy right now, and yeah, you know,
but I mean it's the holidays too, so yeah. I'm sure all you guys have your own personal pieces you guys are working on. And
Yeah. There's that, definitely. Yes.
Especially because, I mean, I imagine for Mecha, you have to do some stuff for school, like some seasonal stuff, I'm guessing.
Yeah, everyone has online, but we're also just like, for Mecha, we just revived it, we revived it. And
well, let's get into what makes sense. We're going to talk about it. Like, let's tell the listeners, like, what's Mecha? Like, tell us what the club is about and, like, what does Mecha stand for?
Mecha is a student, Student school movement based on Chicano. It dies out when no one do anything about it. Uh-huh. And it sucks because back then it was like over like 25 clubs and LA, Los Angeles Harbor College. But when people just now these days just passing by, the first thing that comes to mind, I just want school over with.
Yeah.
But actually, you wanna for me, it's just for me, like, you know, how I see it, like, you know, I don't wanna just go to school and just tell what I did in that year, all I did was school.
Yeah.
Like, I want to also do like a big impact. And that was like the second, like, it was one of my friends and us, and we were just like, how come Los Angeles Harbor College didn't like, don't have a Chicano club?
Yeah.
And then this and that. And then we speak with one of my other friends. It was how it happened, it was amazing. Cause it was kind of funny in a certain way, because I met up with, at first, it was me and Chitali. And then eventually we were talking about it. We were doing like a little art session, but we brought up, and she brought up like the Chicano club, and I'm, oh yeah. And then we started talking to, she knows someone, and that was when Brandon came in, and I know someone, that was when Jocelyn, and then it came, and then I got a message from Eddie. That's when Eddie wanted, and she said the same thing. How come Los Angeles Harbor College doesn't have a Mecha club?
Yeah,
Chicano club. And then because of Jocelyn, she brought up on Mecha, and Mecha already have their own, like, what their everything set for there to actually make it happen. So we gotta do like a, I forgot the, but we just made it, like, we talked to our advisor, that's Validus, and he also knew about it. I didn't know about Mecha, so like eventually, like, you know, now I have to learn. Like, I'm actually the president of this club, so I'm like, that was a shock. Yeah, that was a, I was just like, god damn, all right.
It's so, like, to me. That's how they threw you in? Like, you didn't know anything about it? And they're like, okay, well, now you're president? Or
No. Like, I knew based on, like, Chicano, like the Chicano club or what it was, but I wasn't expecting the president. Okay. Like, I wasn't expecting. And, you know, it's just, everyone's learning. Everyone has the stuff that they, what they believe and what they came from. And we just got together, and eventually we started growing. At the first semester, it was hard because fundraising and everything, it was hard to make things happen. We did an event, the Brasa Empowerment. It was okay. It was a success at the last minute, surprisingly. So, yeah.
So, what did you guys do to fundraise?
We did that, but we just sold something, like snacks or something.
All right.
But that was like, man, we were barely learning. We like, yeah. It's all communication and what we gotta. Yeah, a lot of communication that had to come through. But now this semester, we just like all prepared. We made things happen. We brought back the Mayan mural that was teared down in Los Angeles Harbor College.
What was this mural? Cause I saw it on Instagram. So can you tell me more about the mural?
It was our advisor Valentin. He introduced me about this mural. I always thought like probably like last year, and he was telling me like, oh, there used to be a Mayan mural. Over here, like around, it was done in like the 1960s and the 1970s, like the late 60s and early 70s. So he brought it up, and I was really amazed about it. They're like, oh, shoot, where is that? That used to be in the San Jose Harbor College. What? And then I looked into it, and then Badger was telling me this, and I was like, and then it came to this day. And it was my idea to actually pitch in, like, let's do an event based on doing a mural. And it took a lot of work and time to make it happen, and money involved, and the administration, and it was crazy.
So where was this mural at, though, like, first?
It was in the old, apparently it was on the old English building in Los Angeles Harbor College.
Okay.
So it would be, like, it would just be, I wish I could have seen it, but it was old because it was done like in the 70s.
Okay.
When it was done, like.
So you guys based did it off of a picture or what?
When we brought it up, it took a lot of work. And then for the picture, it was, I asked Valdez to our advisor to actually send me the picture of that picture, the color one.
Okay.
But the detail wasn't there. And then thank God, like on Instagram, I think, yeah, Mr. 1077. He posted his picture that was connected with the historical society movement, and it was, and then he wrote in some of the biography on that. It was in the San Jose Harbor College. It was done during the time where the Chicano, Chicano movement, doing murals and everything, and that was one of the landmarks.
Okay.
And the school did their best to save it, but the building was so old, so they teared it down, sadly. And so there was this picture. So he posted this picture, and it had all the details, but it was like, kind of
like slanted.
Yeah.
Like in a bad angle.
Like a bad angle. Yeah. There you go. Like a bad angle, and then so we had to work through it.
Yeah.
And it came out it took, like I said, like, I had to do. Take a lot of time. And
so, like, if people want to look at it right now, is it on display still, or where is it at?
It's if people want to check it out and go to Los Angeles Harbor College, go to the Seahawks Center. It's literally on the second floor right now, and it's really great. It's really awesome because it's not just me; it was the whole Mecha. We made this happen, so shout out to them. Because we made it happen together. As for me, like, you know, it's good too that when you succeed, it's like cool, like you feel bad, like for yourself, but we did this as a family, and we were so happy, and people were involved, and we reached our goal. It wasn't about the money. It wasn't about how we were popping. Like, pretty much, like, we stand out. It was mostly because we made it happen. We making history. We respect history. We brought it back. We revived it. It took a lot of encouragement.
Yeah.
To bring something from the dead, especially with done in like the Dia de los Muertos.
Yeah.
So it took a lot of courage, and it was an awesome. I was very happy that day. My advisor, he was very also happy, and you know, I was proud that day. So yeah. So that's the whole point since of why we brought back the mural.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's very important, man. Like, you're trying to bring up some history and some culture back, you know, to the city.
Yeah.
Because unfortunately, like, I know not a lot of people, like...
Because all the minor murals that... all the murals that are, like, based on our culture is starting to be teared down. And to this day, there's some murals that's starting to be teared down.
Yeah.
For some silly reason and some, you know, some because the city and the community or the main one or what they're trying to do. And it sucks because not... You shouldn't tear... It sucks to hear or see it happen, a history being teared down.
Yeah.
Because it shouldn't be, like, it sucks because it's not there, and then there's going to be some people that's going to be forgetting about it.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, something I wanted to ask you about, I think I saw it on your Instagram, or maybe I saw you on somebody else's Instagram. Do you also restore murals? Like, because I think I saw you working on the one at the Waha Park, like, where the hands are, like, it's a woman and a man holding hands.
Yeah.
Like, can you tell the listeners a little bit about that? Like I saw a picture of it, so I don't know. I like a lot of info about it. Right. So maybe, like, if, like, there's other artists that might, like, want to do what you do and restore it and, like, keep the history of Wilmington, the city, you know, alive by restoring. Because a lot of these little kids, they're tagging over it and destroying these, like, nice pieces of art, you know? And it's a shame, like, you're trying to, like, preserve them. You're trying to, like, preserve the history, but... There's little fuckheads over here messing everything up. So, like, can you tell us a little bit about that program? Maybe what it's called?
When it came to restoring, it was just, like, last minute. It was, like, off guard. Because literally, Mario, he posted it, like, restoring the first one was the Will Hall. And it would be, like, restoring tomorrow, this time, bam. And the original artist, Joe Bravo, he's gonna be
cool.
Yeah, so he was there for that part. Honestly, it wasn't like it's not a program.
Okay.
But it was like program, like some people. It's all getting together.
Yeah, cause I know somebody from Wasted Talent. He's I think the guy the main guy from Wasted Talent, he also does it. I think that's Marlene Tefoya's brother. One of Marlene Tefoya's brother. He's also good. He also helps you guys, right?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, and then, like, you also restored the one over there. I think it's by a liquor store on L Street, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think that's with the
Maravilla
two guys that have, like, scars over their eyes. They're about to, like, shank each other.
Yeah, the Maravilla. Yeah, I actually live by around there. And that's one of my... Only because, like, you know, that's where I always see when I leave, and then, you know, but yeah, like, that was one of them, and those two, the Will Hall and the one in the High and L Street mural, those two are very historical murals, and it sucks because they shouldn't be represented as the landmark of gang members, and how they shouldn't be represented as, even though, like,
yeah, one's on the east side, the other one's on the west side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it sucks because they're just vandalizing. It's not like, because this is actually, these two murals, not for the gang in a certain way, you know, but what can you do, you know? For that reason, it's for the city, you know, it's the community. But it's not just for Wilmington, there's also, like, stuff going on, like, for other cities that having the same problem too, like every city have like gang members that's going on, rivalry, graffiti artists, and it sucks, you know, like, but what can you do, you know? I mean, like I said, everyone has that environment, the way they're fighting their own battle, maybe it's just a level of understanding, and just, you know, but it's our job, you know, to let them, you know, we shouldn't be complaining, we should just, that's when the restoration came.
Yeah.
Honestly, being part of that, that was really awesome, because when I was a part of the day one restoring the Will Hall, and I got, some of my friends were there and some of the new people I met right there, and I got to meet Joe Bravo, and he was telling me this. It used to be the Will Hall, the way its shape is. It was like plane. It was done like the World War II.
Okay.
And planes would go in there. He told me like planes would go in there.
Oh wow.
So it was part of that.
And then where the basketball court is, or what?
Yeah, the basketball
the whole
court.
Part.
It's not that bad. Yeah, oh. I think the whole part, yeah.
Damn.
So yeah, it was just like one of the pictures and some of the old school picture. I think someone had like the album gallery. And it was just full of pictures of the news article and this. And then it was like, it wasn't just Joe Bravo. It was like three other original artists as well.
Okay.
But I think like someone, like I think all of them passed away, but except Joe Bravo. I don't know. It's sort of old information, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, those two, the reason why I want to be part of it, it was a must, you know, like, yeah. I want to do this community, not because it's not even about, like, having to put your name out there, like, any of that, like, it was just part of just making things happen, like, keep that culture going, keep the, what it's known for, and the people, those two are history, when people, like, some of my friends from outside Wilmington, and they want to come to Wilmington, because just to visit, and it's not all that bad.
Yeah.
Even though we live like the third largest refinery.
Yeah. And I mean, we're the heart of the harbor. Yeah. I mean, everything like goes in and out from China, like it's shipped, goes through us, you know? Yeah. So, I mean,
we are the evidence actually when we're in some like, with such as like PV and anything, like they're just like the higher class, and we're over here, like. Where we have whatever the environment is like with like coming from the refinery, and we have like some of the people that have like disease or have lung trouble breathing and anything because of this, and we are the evidence basically. We're absorbing all these stuff that's around us, and then it's our job, people of color, to actually stick together and for the community and just connect with one another.
Yeah.
And I having to see that us, all those artists and all these different programs for the United Foundation of Wilmington as well. Robert, he was helping out when I was on the High and L Street mural.
Uh-huh.
That one, the Maravilla Market. And then,
are those national monuments? Like, are they, like, preserved or, like, by the city or anything? They're just...
What?
Like, you know how the city sometimes they, like... I don't know what they're called, but, they're city monuments or something like that. Like, does the city even recognize them as anything, or just murals like that happen to be in the city?
No,
like, cause because all historical monuments, because they've been there for a long time, you know?
They've been there a long time. Yes it has, and it's been there for like as I remember it's been there like for like around almost like mid-90s or something around there. It's like I said, like I'm doing my own research and I'm doing the best I can to actually get the right information to learn my primary research as I can.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been there for a long time, as coming from other people that from what I heard. But yeah, it's really awesome, man. Like having to hear some of these stories. I think one of my friends, he told me like the artist for that mural, he used like actual people. At one of his homeboys to be the model for having to do those two gang members fighting.
Yeah.
And then they get it on. He actually had some model or something.
All right.
To model for me. Yeah. It's like, it's amazing, yeah? Because you're not just like, it's not just the meaning itself, the mural, but the backstory as well.
Yeah, awesome. Like, can you tell us about the backstory? Because I don't know anything. I know it's there, but I don't know the backstory.
Yeah. But it's like every backstory. That's one of part of the backstory. It's hard to get hold of information. Yeah. That's what I mean. Like for us to keep the culture going, but also learn this history because our culture, and what we are, it's hard to get a hold for our information, to get a hold of our history, because they don't teach that in school.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So, like, what are you going to school for right now? Are you, like, some Chicano, like, studies on top of your art?
Well, my major is art and animation.
Okay.
I'm trying to get into that.
Uh-huh.
But at the back, anything not, like, any besides, like, when it asked for the learning my culture, and learning about other certain things to that, I'm learning that from these people, and I'm also reading from the books. I'm also reading from other people, their backstory, because that's the reason why I like going out. Okay. I want to learn these right information to not say the wrong things, to not say I'm doing the best I can to just like, because all I'm doing is pretty much doing, that's why I want to be a cartoonist. Because I want to educate, like it should be, because when I do a cartoon, I want to do like a PG-13, and I want to be based on to our culture, and I can teach the youth what it is, and the best way possible.
Okay.
And that's why I want to do that. And as for that, I'm also like also learning about my culture, also learning about these history. And as I'm doing that, doing the best. Like, everyone has the way of how they learned, and it's like sometimes it's hard to get that profession.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So.
So like right now, are you working on anything? Like, do you have anything in progress, or like what are you doing towards that? Like towards. You just said you want to like be cartoonist. Are you like right now working on a cartoon about the city, or like are you using the your style of painting, like the Chicano movement, like the Chicano style? Oh, what did you call it? Like that? Well, what's that name of the style? You mentioned it earlier.
Cultural surrealism.
Yeah, like are you using cultural surrealism?
Yeah, it's in the category of Chicano art, but you know, I think my teacher, my AP art teacher in senior year, he told me like I think because I said I don't know if he. When it was my turn, and I displayed my work, and he told me, "What's your art?" And then I said, "Like Chicano art," but he was just like, "No, but I mean, what's your art? Like, what it really specifically is? Like, you have to be more specific."
Yeah,
it took me a while, so I just said, "You know, cultural surrealism, because it's more to my culture, and then it's more dreamlike of reality, because I'm always my imagination." So. So
are you working on like a cartoon maybe? Cause like what do you mean why PG-13? Like what are you gonna
The reason why I want to keep it PG-13, there's gonna be like, you know, a little maybe like a certain like, you know, more. I feel like it's more fine in that level, maybe around 13, but it's not officially. But I'm actually trying to. But that's all I can say right now. It's all in the process.
So you don't have a storyline or anything like that yet?
Not yet, because I'm trying to keep it myself because I don't want to get people's hopes up.
Okay.
But that's all I can say. I'm planning to be a cartoonist, and right now I'm working with just my idea when it comes to animation. I'm trying to transfer the style that I have right now to transfer into like an animation that's easier for me to do. So that way I can just knock off like. So that's like you gotta kind of. Go simplify everything, so you gotta tear like all the shades and then try to transfer all that. And it's hard because I'm not trying to do like a basic animation, I'm trying to do my own style of animation to make it unique in a certain way, but you know, the best way possible.
So, like, so once you're done with school and all this stuff, like, what are you planning to do? Like, who are you planning to work for, or where are you trying to work at?
I'm trying to work with my cousin, so like we're both working on this together.
Okay.
So best way possible is just necroding and getting things happen. But meantime, that's why I want to go to school. And the school I want to go to is Cal Arts, Otis, Fullerton, or Northridge. Any one of those schools that would be fine with me. Whatever the animation is, you know. So yeah, either way. But meantime, as I'm doing that art animation, I'm also at the same time I want to be involved with the community.
Okay.
The community, the program as I can, every section, as much as I can. Because I've been going these 2 years, like I've just been going out to LA. I've been going down to Orange County once in a while, and then once I went to San Diego, and then I do it because I just love it. Like, I know for a fact that it's gonna pay off. I'm not doing it for anywhere to make a name for myself. I'm just doing it because I love the art, and I just want to open my eyes more to it, and I want to respect everything.
So like, but what are you doing there? Like, you keep mentioning it, but like, what do you do? Like, are you taking your art? Are you like just looking at other people's styles, or like what are you doing? Like, why are you going to these places? Like, why are these places so important for what you're trying to do, what you're doing?
I do look at other people's work and art style, and it's really amazing. Like, and some of the stuff, like I don't take people's work. Like, but I like their pretty much. I just admire the work and then everything and. Because what I love to do, the reason why I go to places is because that's where some of my friends are. Like that's also passionate the same way I am, and that's what I mean. Like communication, equity, and be involved, not just being on the phone and just saying stuff, but actually get the action going.
Yeah.
But I'm more of a person that just does than say. So when I get stuff, like, that's why I keep stuff to my own self.
Okay.
But I want to get it to happen.
Yeah, I get you.
Yeah, so when I do stuff, like, I'm actually, like, that's what I mean. Like, when people ask me, how do you get into this art show? How do you get in part of that? How do you get this? How do you know about this guy? Like, it's all equity and connection. Just, like, communication. That's what I mean when the first quote that changed, like, my perspective was when I went to the Boys and Girls Club, and then this one staff, when I was a member, like, I didn't, not when I work, and the one quote that she gave me was comfort zone are meant to be broken.
Yeah
And I just took upon that, and then I would be quiet, like, through all my school years of junior high school and high school. I was quiet. Yeah. I didn't speak.
I mean, that's
and because of this, and I took it upon myself to actually do the opposite and then communicate and equity, and you never know who you're gonna meet.
True.
So, I mean, some friends might go and some people, and you know, you can't be there for everyone's life. You do the most as possible. That's why I do art, because I let my art speak for me.
Yeah.
Because I can't be, like, I'm only one person. You can't, like, I do the best whenever I go to the event, and whatever I do, an art piece, I do the best I can for that art piece, and always my heart and soul. So that's what I want to do, and that's what I love to do. The reason why I go to places, because you never know what you're going to meet, who you're going to meet, and what you're going to learn from there. Because they have a historical thing, like, with, like, when I go to, like, for example, San Diego, Chicano Park, someone tells me about the whole reason why it's Chicano Park Day.
Okay.
And it was a great story, like, because stuff like that, it's not just my city, it's all cities, what their city based on. What their city was from, what was it before it was made, how that, you know, stuff like that I'm interested in. Because when people come to my city, I want to be like the tour guide, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you want to be like, oh, I know the best food. I know who to talk to for this reason. It's all like, I want to be that type of person. Just supporting as well. That's a big part right there. Supporting one another. You're not just supporting these big major, like, you know, food places or these, like,
I mean, there's a lot of good places like Montoya's, you know, it's like Best Burritos, or Isaac's, they got some bomb ass burritos. So I see you got a tattoo over here on your forearm, like, it's a clown. Is it a clown, like a girl clown or what?
Yeah, it's a sad girl clown.
A sad girl clown.
Yeah.
Right, what's up with that? Why sad? Why not happy?
It's once I get the other tattoo, it will make sense. But actually, the reason why I have it near my elbow is because, you know, the artwork is done by Nikali, and he's a good friend of mine, and he's really, like, really awesome. I always learn something from him, and you know, but he's really cool. And stuff that he does right now is really amazing. I love the fact that what he does and what he's interested, especially with his lady too. They're both, like, at the same pace, and what they do, being part of the movement to make a difference, and, like, being part of the protest and what they do. That's why I wanted to get his artwork, because he does art, and he's involved with the Pachuco music that's in, like, Boy. I saw them perform at Boy Heights, and it's really awesome. All
right.
So that's what I mean, like, they're supporting one another.
So what's the next? Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Yeah.
So the reason why I got it is because, you know, I respect and love what they both do, and then, so that's why I wanted to do this because I'm planning to be like a tattoo collector.
Okay.
So I'm actually trying to like just pretty much have all the stuff meaningful, and then when it comes to my other side of the arm, I want it to be a happy angel.
Okay.
So that's the whole thing. Like, it's like a smile, not cry later thing.
Yeah, but with the clown and the angel instead of a face.
Basically. And the reason why the clown, because, you know, like, middle school, I did a lot of clowns.
Yeah.
So it bring back a little memory. And then the reason why the eyes are crying is because I used to, it's a little another story, but, like, I don't know why, but when I got a cut, and then I added, I don't know why, but it came to my, like, I wanted to do, like, a, since I was young, to have a tattoo, what I did, I had another cut, and it looked like a closed eye, and with the one of the eye has a scar. Yeah, a scar.
Oh, all right.
So I was gonna originally get, like, the eye one, but I'm like, I don't want to get an eye tattoo for some reason, so I was just like, you know what, this is close enough. I like the work, and I had my eye on this since the first original magazine. Okay. And shout out to them, because, you know, if I wasn't for that magazine, I would have met some of these great people. And I love surrounding myself with artists who's passionate and love, that's not in it for the money, that's not in it for social media, they're in it for
the love, you know, the love, the art,
history, art. Well, how that's how it should be.
Yeah,
to actually make a difference, to make a history, keep that culture going. That's what I'm in for.
Yeah.
And I'm doing the best I can. It's just all like sometimes the distance, because some of my friends are like far away out in the Orange County, and plus I take buses and trains. So
okay.
So yeah. So, and there's times like you know, and doing the best you can and being. You gotta handle your own responsibility, and that's why. So yeah, so I wanted to have that tattoo.
All right. So besides, I figure tattooing similar to like your style of like penmanship. You know, like it's.
Yeah.
I mean, you fuck up, and you know, it's really nothing much you could do. Like, have you ever thought of going into tattooing yourself?
I actually did a tattoo on myself actually when I was 20. Okay. But yeah, it came out good, and I'm pretty happy about it. I got the design from like Lowrider Magazine 2013, and it was just like a simple but yet a lot of details into it.
Like, what is it? Can you tell us?
It's like a skull, like Day of the Dead skull.
Okay.
And
is it in your calf or what? Is it in your calf?
Yeah, it's on like my upper knee, my right. And then I did that just to practice on myself, and I did that. And I only did 3 tattoos. One of myself. That was my first tattoo. The other two was just one of my friends, one in a Minor Threat, and one of them is like a Satan thing. But yeah, I just like I stopped for a while because of school and heavy work, and I started doing art shows. I'm actually gonna be almost on my 25th art show.
Wow.
Yeah. So like, but it's like these 2 art shows is gonna be happening on December 9th at Pomona, and the other one's gonna be an original magazine. So they haven't posted anything yet, but I can say it's the day. So like December, possibly like 16 or something.
Yeah. So I mean, well, when you actually know the date, just tell me and I'll post it on like, or by then this episode should be out. So yeah. Like on the intro, I'll mention it to the listener where and when they could go. They could check your stuff out.
Yeah, for sure. Right on. Yeah. That'll be awesome. And they're actually, it's actually going to be 2 good shows too. It's actually gonna be for it's gonna be 2 good shows. But yeah, tattooing, I'm gonna get back to it finally, because I'm almost done with school. So many people have been asking me, oh, tattoo, how come you don't do this? So the very reason is because of responsibility and, you know, crimes and how to get away and stuff. Like this year was just like a lot of heavy stuff that's going on in my life in the beginning. And I made some changes in my life, and honestly, like, so just to like simple everything out and what I want to do. So actually, and then it came to my mind, like, I'm almost done with school. It's the right time to actually finally be an apprentice to a tattoo shop. I don't know what tattoo shop I'm gonna be apprenticing at, but I'll see. So I'm trying to be flexible on my time. That's the only thing.
Like, you gotta keep your options open, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's smart.
So whenever the tattooing comes, it's just patience. I like to pace myself. I don't like rushing or anything, but so I'm like, okay, I'm undecided on the tattoo shop. I'll visit one of the 2. So whatever happens, happens. So I keep stuff to myself. I don't like bringing hopes up. And then eventually next year, maybe I'll have some new my own brand coming out. So maybe that. So we'll see. That's all.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know what? I think I took enough for your time, and you might be tired of talking already.
Yeah.
I know the seat might be uncomfortable. Your ass might be hurting. So you know what? Like, why don't you tell people where they could find, your work? Maybe like you've been featured on some magazines, or maybe on certain websites. Just give people all your social medias, the locations where you might be featured. We're not done yet. This is just the time for your plugs. So this is, you could give shout outs. You could do whatever you want for this part.
All right, for sure. I want to give you want to see my work, all my work that keep in mind that the work I do, it's all meaning. There's little symbols, and I just have fun with it. There's a little twist into it every time. So what it is just, you know, let it speak to you. If it doesn't, then it's all good. It's all love and respect, whether you like it or not. I do it for me, and just connect with people as they can. So you never know who you're gonna connect if you don't do it. But yeah, I wanna. My Instagram is gonna WRISPERARTE, ARTE. So yeah, Whisper Arte.
Yeah. So I'm also gonna have the link, so it'll just be clickable, you know, on the description. You guys will be able to click on it, and it'll send you directly to his Instagram page. Or
for sure. So yeah, I give a big shout out to Original Magazine, Richard Red Coast, for providing, like, since coming out. I came out in issue number 1 and issue number 3. But all the artists, and I might come out in number 5, that's coming out in December. But, you know, I give a lot of love and respect to the magazine, because the whole thing is just for these new artists to come up, and because it was just like all these artists, like I'm telling you, just check them out. Check out, it's like Por Viva Original Magazine. Check them out as well. And then give a big shout out to Pain and Hope for the show that's gonna be happening on December 9th. From the alley to the gallery. So that's a pretty gonna be an awesome show, because a lot of, it's like over 100 artists and slash car show that's gonna be going on in Pomona. So yeah, check it out. And then yeah. Thank you for having me.
We're not done yet, man. You gotta thank me yet. Right, so I mean, at the beginning of the show, I kind of gave you like the little like what's gonna happen. So I also gave you the option if you want to ask me anything. I understand. I asked you so many questions. You've been here for an hour, so you know it's not fair to like ask all the questions and I give you a chance to ask me a question. You don't have to. It's optional if you want.
I suck at questions.
That's cool. Yeah. So
especially where I have to come up with a unique question. So
it's cool, man. Yeah. I get it. Like I didn't tell you beforehand, so you didn't have time to prepare. I understand. You know, maybe it's done on purpose. That way, you know, you won't. You know, I won't cry here if you ask me such a big personal question or something. You know, I don't want my listeners. Yeah. Because
I'm the type of person that has to do my research to find a question. So I'm like, I can't do questions on the spot. So
alright, that's cool, man. So now before we go, you guys know I like to play Sevens. It's my favorite game. It's one of my favorite games. Actually, I played it this on Thanksgiving with my family. They all sucked. I sucked too. I got 10. Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know what happened. I blanked a couple times. But yeah, so for my new listeners, for the listeners that that Pedro brought, Sevens is a game. It's if you heard of the pyramid game, it's basically the pyramid game, or I like to describe it kind of like heads up. You know, if you don't know what heads up is, it's a game that you put on your forehead and then the person across from you has to give you a clue of what it says on the phone. So it's basically like that, except that he won't see the phone. I'm gonna be looking at the phone the whole time. So the rules are, he has 7 seconds. So it's 7 questions. He has 7 seconds to answer each question. The highest possible score he could get is 49, which is super fucking hard. Like, we have to be like on a roll. Like, he has to pretty much read my mind for him to be able to get 49. It's impossible. But the highest score on the podcast is 27. I believe it's 27, held by Alba from Las Dos Albas. So that's the one you have to beat, 27. But you do have 2 chances. So if the first one sucks, then you'll have a second chance to redeem yourself. So the categories are, before I even go any further. So the whole point of this is, at the end of the year, I'm gonna give my guest the high score. I'm gonna give him something. Either it's gonna be a fat head of myself giving you the thumbs up as inspiration for you to never come here again. I don't know, maybe. But you know, or I'm gonna give you a hat or something else. You know, whatever I feel fits you, suits you the best, you know. So high score, 49. So the categories are general, movies, TV shows, celebrities, music, sports, Broadway, food, animals, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s and their corresponding music, stand-ups, superheroes, movie comedy, movie rom-com, movie award winners, football, baseball, basketball, hockey. Ooh, okay. So my advice to you is pick something that you feel I'm gonna be good at. So just look at me. What does it look like I love to do? Eat. All right. So that's one of my, like, it's not my best one, but I'm decent at that one. So I'm that's a clue.
I gotta take culinary class.
That what?
I gotta take culinary arts for that.
Nah, it's food. Like, it's just basically. I know, so, you know, I'm gonna go easy on you. I'm gonna choose for you. All right. So you're gonna choose the high score. Yeah. Oh no, fuck it. You
choose. I'll choose superhero. Right,
superhero. All right, yeah, superheroes. All right. Yeah. I'm not good at that, but good luck. All right. All right. So you have 7 seconds, right, to answer each question. So it's basically you got 49 seconds in total, but each question is 7 seconds. All right.
All right, for sure.
It's the villain from X-Men. I think he controls
Magnet.
Night. No, it's Magneto. It's not Marvel Comics, but it's the other one, the rival.
DC.
Okay, I just mentioned it. Like, it's not DC Comics, but I just told you.
DC Marvel. Oh, yeah.
Okay, the villain for, like, he was on Thor. He was the villain, or like a.
Loki?
No. Huh. It's the where, like, Batman keeps all his gadgets. It's the thing on his waist.
Oh, the bat belt. Oh, no.
I don't know what this is. I can't help you with this one.
Yeah.
Oh, it's an animal, but it's also the villain from Spider-Man. He has a horn.
Rhino. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So you got 4. Okay, so it was not DC Comics, but Marvel Comics, and it was Thanos, and then utility belt for, like, where they keep their gadgets.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know, Iron Patriot? I don't know who that is.
Iron Patriot?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, he's from Iron Man.
Yeah, I don't know who he is.
Yeah.
All right, so the first one is 3. I think it's a good warm-up, so let's go. We're going to do general, because everybody, like, that picks general does very good.
Okay.
So you kind of know how it works now, so it should be okay.
I was just like, oh shoot.
It's like made out of metal. You could cut people with it.
Knife. Pocket knife.
Like, you use this to take things out, like food.
Toothpick.
Like, what am I doing? What am I? What is
this? Dramatic noise.
No. Okay, never mind. Oh, it's we watch videos here on the internet.
YouTube videos.
What are these? What I'm wearing on my feet. It's like a tablet, but it's made out with Apple. What's Apple brand?
A laptop.
It's a 4th of July. We eat these. This made out of, like, pork, turkey. They're coming on a bun.
Pig.
No, hot dog. 17.
Alright, for sure.
Alright, well, you know, it wasn't 27, but it's not that bad. This was actually not the worst score. I got 10 on Thanksgiving, so you did way better than I did, alright?
Yeah.
Alright, so you know what? Before I end it, I gotta give you guys my plugs. Alright, so you can find me on Instagram, Facebook. All you gotta do is search for Let Me Know Pod. If you have a question, maybe you want to be part of you have a segment you want to add, or maybe you want to be part of the show, maybe you want to be a guest, send me an email at letmeknowpod@gmail.com. You hear music on the background. If you want to be featured somewhere on the show, maybe you're an artist and you want to be you want me to play your music, send it to me to letmeknowpod@gmail.com. Actually, I'm gonna have a show. I'm gonna do stand up. I haven't done stand up in a cool minute, guys, so right now, this is my re-debut, you know, the remix of the reviews. So you could, it's going to be December 23rd in LA. I'm going to post a link on the bottom, on the description of this episode. And I'm going to be posting a lot of pictures from today on. You're going to see a lot of posts. It's basically where you could go and watch, you could watch me do some stand up. Lola La Poeta is going to be there, and Carla Felix is going to be there. She's you guys know her from Lady Luck Productions. So she's going to be the one throwing this event. It's to help people from the DACA that are providing funds for the DACA, basically for undocumented people. So come help out. It's only $5, and you're gonna have some laughs. I have some new material that I don't know how you guys are gonna take it, but hopefully you guys do pretty well with it, because it's, if you've heard my stand up before, it's I'm upping it a level. You know, it's gonna be worse than that. So make sure to follow us. Make sure to rate 5 stars on iTunes and tell your friends. Share the shit out of this fucking show. All right. All right, guys. Well, I did a lot of talking and I might run out of breath. So I'll leave you with that. So as always, guys, thank you for letting me part of your day. And as always, guys, bye. I love you.